You're listening to Meet the Candidate on the Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Election Day is on Monday the 28th, so that's not Monday, but a week Monday, believe it or not. We'll have full election coverage for you right here on 800-CJBQ. Jack Miller will be anchoring with myself, Ross McDougall, and Mitch Hempel in studio. Then I'll follow up the next morning with a election broadcast, post-election broadcast with Ross and special guests. And of course, Ted Bradford is actually going to be producing our election night. So we're very excited to have the team on board. We'll have reporters all over the area and we'll be covering this for you. This is a big area. Prince Edward for the Bay of Quinte riding, Erica. I mean, Prince Edward County, where obviously you're from. Mm-hmm. And then Belleville, most of Belleville and Quinte West as well. And, you know, let's talk about Prince Edward County for a bit, because there is, and I've said this before, cool winery Prince Edward County. And then there's people who've been there for nine generations, agriculture Prince Edward County, and they have different ideas.
Absolutely.
So when you go to those doors, what do you hear? Well, what's the difference?
I hear that people are not used to having as little resources in the community as they would have been in a bigger area, right? And the disparity between the people that have been there for generations saying that I really want to work locally, but I can't actually afford to work at any of the establishments that are coming up because they're all paying minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And Prince Edward County is no longer a place that you can find an affordable minimum wage livable apartment.
Well, yeah, when I, you know, you used to be, I mean, it was just a chunk of nice land and a beach.
It was the place you biked around and it was kind of close to Kingston if you're going to have a reference point.
But now it is the center. And it's interesting because there are three separate different areas that you have to campaign in. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed differences in each?
I have noticed differences in each. I do feel it. I've got a lot more reception, positive reception in the county, maybe because I'm from the county, but also I think there's a lot more progressive ideas and progressive people moving from the city into the county, so they're able to communicate that a little bit better.
Right.
In Belleville, it's a toss-up between liberal and conservative conversations and why they support them. Generations who've only ever voted conservative and they don't see a need to ever change their vote because it's always going to be the same party for them. And then a lot of liberals who might have been conservatives before but aren't happy with Poilievre's policies and the way that he's representing the party and switching over. Trenton, on the other hand, in Quinte West, I have a good reception from those that I speak to. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of anti-liberal conversations. So not necessarily angry with me, but people who are just upset with the liberals as they are. So they need to communicate that to me to say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not voting for you, but I'm definitely not voting for the liberals.
It is interesting. And of course, you look at, you know, yourself, you're a county person, so people are a little more open to you. You look at Ryan Williams, whose family, of course, Quinte West and the former mayor and his dad. And so in Quinte West, and then Chris, of course, is known all over the place, and his wife is from the county as well. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of interesting how things all play out. I hope nobody's mean to you, though.
No, absolutely.
You're not getting any door slams in your face?
No, I do try to keep a private life to reduce the risk of violence or aggression towards me or my family, and that's just a choice that I've made. It might have been a little bit of a detriment to my campaign, but, you know, I'd rather be able to advocate properly and put myself out there in safe situations
right.
than, you know.
Yeah. People shouldn't be rude to people who have taken time and put their name in and are working hard. I mean,
we don't get paid for this.
No, of course not. No,
you're
trying. Mm-hmm. You are trying to do something that most people are never going to try to do. And let's be honest, they're probably not. The Greens probably aren't going to win in this riding, but maybe they will. Maybe they will. You never know. But you're out there and you're trying, and it's an amazing thing. And if anybody's nasty, give us a call and we'll send somebody.
I really appreciate that.
No, I can't stand it. Just say, no, thank you. I'm not interested, and move along.
I think that there's a lot more hate online that actually exists in our neighborhoods. And you can see that a lot of people just want to step away from politics and say there's an apathy problem that we have right now.
Right.
There's too much aggression. It's not worth my time. It's not worth my mental stress to worry about it. So I'm just going to disassociate from what's going on. So I don't know if you know this, but in order to become a candidate, you have to gain 100 signatures.
Right.
Right. Yes. And you need more than 100 signatures in case some of yours get eliminated or anything like that. So So I personally got my 100 signatures by going door to door. And I was so happy that I had these great opportunities to talk to people. Some people did not want to even have any political conversations, but they were willing to support me nonpartisanly to say, you know what, I want representation. Yeah. I want people to be up there representing us, so I'm willing to sign for you. And that was part of the motivation where I thought, you know what, this is going to be the election where I really am able to make a progress and change, because people are a bit more receptive to what I have to say.
Do you think this country is wanting everybody with different views to sit at the table and come up with the best solution to our problems?
We may not want that. That's what we need, right? We have diverse communities. We have always had diverse communities. But one great thing about being Canadian is you take care of your neighbors, regardless of their color or creed, mm-hmm. right? And we have to work together to succeed, because this is not like America. We have smaller communities dispersed over a huge landmass. We don't often have the choice of being critical of who our friends are or specific about hanging out, because sometimes you just have to hang out with the people that are in your area. And it's the same thing in this. Really, behind the scenes with the candidates, we all get along. We're not fighting.
Of course not.
We're not acting like this is a team sport and we hate each other.
Right.
It's not, because we need to be able to work together. And we need to be able to criticize and compliment each other's works to make sure that we have great representation. And I really want to say that I was so proud of all the candidates at last night's meeting when we got there, the debate, that there were notes everywhere. That didn't happen at the Empire debate. And I know that that's an indicator that all of our candidates realize that they need to step up if they want to be heard properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. You mentioned Canadians taking care of their neighbors and each other. In this community, obviously, homelessness, addiction, and mental health is one of the huge topics. I'm not sure if you're hearing at the door, but housing is a huge topic. And to me, and what do I know, but to me, this is every level of government has to be involved mm-hmm. to try to come up with a way to deal with this situation. Mm-hmm. What would the Greens do to help deal with the situation the communities like Belleville are dealing with right mm-hmm. now, and to get homes built for all types of people? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a lawyer and you have a great business going on and your wife's a teacher, or vice versa, and you have a great life,
yep.
you probably can afford a home and somebody yep. will build one for you. But there's a lot of people not in that situation. So what would the Greens do?
So first of all, I just want to comment that this is a lack of leadership. We do have solutions. We've had plans. We have great people that are working this out for us. But I'm having the same conversation now about housing that I did 3.5 years ago. And why is that? Well, it's a lack of initiative from our leaders to actually make these plans happen. So first of all, by making housing a human right, we can quickly get this solved, right? We can make transformational investments in different types of housing. So depending on your community, there's a couple different issues when it comes to just quickly building. And of course, that's land, but also infrastructure, right? So we need an intergovernmental working to make sure that this gets resolved. What I see that looking as is municipalities making bids on how to resolve their local issues, supported by provincial initiatives on infrastructure, funded federally, right?
Right.
That's the most streamlined way that we could get through this. And by revitalizing the CMHC, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, to mandate for their mandates on financing and construction in non-market housing, advocating for the establishment of five prefabrication housing plants, while we build climate resilient homes, focusing on Indigenous led strategies to resolve housing issues in communities, and also extending the GST removal for developers who are building nonprofit housing, and to include all homes built by organizations like Habitat for Humanity. So to give our builders incentives to help resolve this for us.
Okay. What about mental health?
Mental health. Okay. So we want to have mental
health care in general. I mean, there's 10,000 people in this area without a physician, right? Or a primary care provider.
Okay. Let's get to that. So,
and we don't have a lot of time. We only have about a minute or two
okay,
to talk
so
about that.
Similarly, we want to make primary care access a right as well, so that we can also include mental health as being fully funded through provinces and territories. And once we declare it a mental health, we can, again, create avenues to resolve a problem. So if it's needing to hire more doctors, if it's needing to retrain doctors that are actually in our communities already, that are, so that they can fulfill those spots, or using alternative health strategies to give people access to care immediately, like minor injury clinics, mental health clinics, nurse practitioner-led clinics, because we can give that support that's necessary. The housing mental health crisis is a direct, and the increase of crime is a direct result of poverty, right? So if we're going to try and correct these issues and relieve the strain on our health systems, we need to give people access to mental health, but also dental care and pharma care, things that allow them to stay in the workforce for as long as possible. Because once people leave the workforce, it's really hard. And then another point to that would be about housing and getting homelessness. It's not just about building apartments and putting people in the housing. It's about building social housing and also supportive housing, so that people who have mental health issues, we take them off the streets, we're going to give them a house or apartment to live in. They're not going to lose it right away because they can't maintain it or they can't do what they need to survive, right? Those extra supports are always necessary. Okay. Otherwise, the plan's just going to fail.
All right. Well, listen, the hour goes by quickly, and now you have 90 seconds, Erica Charlton, to tell us why you should be the Member of Parliament for Bay of Quinte.
I should be your Member of Parliament for the Bay of Quinte because I'm an honest person. I've gone through most of my life with my own struggles and opportunities that gave me a different outlook on life, because I have had to deal with thousands of Canadians, have conversations about thousands of Canadians about their finances and their home life situation. So I've developed a really unique perspective on what Canadians need. In addition to that, my honesty comes with the ability to take a step back, ask questions, look for resources for answers. I don't necessarily consider myself always the smartest person in the room, but I am one of the most capable people when it comes to finding solutions. My skill set includes leadership, communication, and organization. And what else would we need from a member of parliament? Someone who is able to express our ideas, represent our communities properly, and come up with plans and solutions to make action happen. And also the just blind confidence to stand up and do it. Sometimes you get the call and you need to answer that call. And I got the call for the Green Party and I said, absolutely, it's going to drain all of my energy to do this. And I'm not going to get financially compensated in the past month, but it's worth it because we're worth it. And Bay of Quinte deserves great representation. I love you guys. And this might be the last opportunity for me to say it, but go out and vote and make your voice heard, because we need you to show up for us right now. Canada needs you.
All right, Erica. You're 100% correct. Get out there and vote. Election is on the 28th, and I believe early voting is happening right now. So get out and place your vote. Erica, if somebody wants to find out more about you and your campaign, how do they do that?
They can go to the Green Party website and go under candidates. I'll be listed there. Or you can email me at charlton.harmony@gmail.com.
All right, Erica, congratulations on your candidacy and running and your campaign, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
All right.
Pleasure to be here.
And that's it. We're done. Finito.